I'm going to pray for our Sunday school program, and then I am going to share with you a message this morning. So let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your blessings in our church family and for the way you're blessing our fellowship, our denomination. And just pray that you would continue to challenge us and guide us into the future. We thank you for the Sunday school ministry and would ask your blessing upon the students and the teachers. Continue to bless in this service and in the Mandarin, as well as later in the Cantonese service. May all that is said and done throughout this day bring you honor and glory. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can I have you turn, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And I'm going to read some verses there, but let me just put this question to you. Do you consider yourself to be a genuine Christian? Okay, and take note of the word genuine. A lot of people consider themselves to be Christians, but I wonder, do you believe yourself to be a genuine Christian? Or do you just use the label of Christian, sort of like a cultural marker? A couple of years ago, there was an episode on History Channel. There's a reality show about a Las Vegas pawn shop. And so in this particular episode, it was about a man who brought in a violin to this Las Vegas pawn shop, and he asked for an appraisal. And according to the man's story, he had purchased a piece of property that included a house and a barn, and shortly after his purchase, while he was searching, rummaging through the barn, he opened an old chest and he discovered the violin, which was safely tucked inside it. And as he dusted off the instrument, he found the word Stradivarius clearly inscribed on the violin. Now, are you familiar with Stradivarius violins? Okay, so I won't explain further. The man was hoping upon this discovery that this Stradivarius violin would be worth millions of dollars. And so he took it to the pawn shop, and the pawn shop store owners examined the violin, and then they had it appraised by an expert. And they had to inform the man, regrettably, that it was not a genuine Stradivarius. Instead, it was simply a cheap imitation that was produced in the early part of the 1900s. And instead of being worth millions of dollars, it was only worth maybe $500 or $600. The appraiser concluded by telling this very disappointed violin owner this. He said, "Just because something has a label doesn't mean it's real. Just because someone has the label Christian, it doesn't necessarily mean he or she is genuine." So are we genuine Christians, or do we just wear the label? Now, I want to suggest to you this morning that one of the most significant proofs that a person wearing the label Christian is a genuine Christian, not just an imitation or a fake, is in how that person treats or relates to other people, and especially to other Christians. From the Garden of Eden to this present day, God's ideal plan has been for all of us to be in relationship with others. And His ideal plan has been for us to enjoy these relationships. And His ideal plan has been for us to be saddened and grieved when any of these relationships are not what they could be. Now take a look at what we have in John chapter 17. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 18. This is Jesus praying for His disciples. Verse 18, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. And so Jesus prays not only for his present disciples, but he prays for you and me. For all those who would follow him subsequent to his death and his resurrection, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. With great intensity, Jesus offered up his prayer because he knew how provocative and deadly sin was. He saw around him and into the future how sin had and would hurt and destroy relationships, family relationships, friendships, church relationships. It is sin that stirs up enmity between people. Sin sharpens the critic's tongue. Sin nurtures division instead of unity. Sin promotes verbal sparring instead of the passing of the peace. Sin encourages prideful competition instead of humble confession. Sin champions personal interests instead of another person's interests or the interests of the community. Sin advances my way instead of your way, or more importantly, instead of God's way. It is sin that wreaks havoc with relationships. And so, for the sake of relationships, and especially for the sake of the world, Jesus pleads with his heavenly Father. You see, the way you handle and experience your relationships is observed by God. It is observed by a watching world. The community around us takes notice of how we handle our relationships with others. And so Jesus prays and he pleads with his Father. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Is there any credible proof? Is there any visible evidence to your claim, to our claim, to be Christians? Or are we just wearing the label? Now, we live our lives in the public domain, and whether we like it or not, people are watching us. And as Christians, as those who claim that particular label, we are saying that we believe in Jesus, that we are friends with Jesus, that we are followers of Jesus. This Jesus, he's more than just a cuddly baby who was born in a manger and given the name Emmanuel. This Jesus, he is more than just some young boy who went missing and stayed behind when his parents rode home and he was in the temple talking. This Jesus is more than the carpenter who worked in the shop and fine-tuned furniture. He is more than just this itinerant preacher. He is more than just a courageous martyr who was murdered on the cross. This Jesus, whom we claim to follow, is the Almighty God. This Jesus whom we say we believe in and whom we follow is the Wonderful Counselor. This Jesus is the Prince of Peace. This Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. This Jesus is the first and the last. This Jesus is the Christ. He is Jehovah. He is the Lord, the Holy One, the way and the truth and the life. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. This Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, who came to live among us and transform us and make us more and more like Himself, so that when people watch us, when they look at us, they begin to see Him. This Jesus prayed that we would be so transformed by the love of God that we would love one another. And then the community around us would be convinced that Jesus and the message that we preach about Jesus and the life that we live with the label of Christian, that it would be irrefutably found to be true. When we deeply love one another, the label that we wear is proven to be genuine. Now, as I said, we live in the public domain. People are watching you, they are watching me. In this church, we are watching one another. As the people in the community and as you and I watch one another and as people listen to us and as they converse with us and as they hear about us, they are meant to encounter Jesus. But what kind of Jesus do they encounter? Do they encounter a nasty, spiteful, critical, grudge-holding Jesus? Do they encounter a gossip-spreading, a negative-minded, a fault-finding Jesus? Or do they encounter a Jesus who is positive, encouraging, uplifting, forgiving, and tender-hearted? Do they encounter a selfless, gentle, generous, compassionate, honest, kind, and loving Jesus? Who do they encounter? Jesus prayed that we would overpower the terrible deeds of sin and influence the world through our harmony and our love and our unity. We need this love and this unity to exist among ourselves. We need this love and this unity to exist within and between our English and Cantonese and Mandarin ministries. We need this love and this unity to exist between and within the many churches of our larger fellowship. We need this love and this unity to exist between and within the various denomination and the various churches within our city. This is what Jesus prayed for. This is what we need. A small boy once asked, "Dad, what is a religious traitor?" And the father responded, "A person who leaves our church and joins another." The boy, "And what is a person who leaves another church and joins ours?" The father, "A convert, son, a convert." Now, we often employ this same attitude in our personal relationships. If someone disagrees with me, he is obviously against me, he is a traitor, or at least he is treacherous. But if someone comes over to my side, to my point of view, then he has seen the light. And he's joined the ranks of the righteous. Sadly, this me versus him, or this us versus them mentality, is what damages unity. Finger pointing or blaming others damages unity. A critical spirit damages unity. Stubbornness or a lack of grace damages unity. Protecting or only promoting my preferences, my ministry, damages unity. Insisting on getting my way damages unity. And these are the kinds of sinful attitudes and behaviors that turn our label into a lie. Now, I am the first to admit, because I know myself quite well, and that is that the church is not perfect because I am not perfect. Oak Ridge Baptist Church is not a perfect church. But I want you to think about the very first church. When the first church was started, the chairman of the board, Peter, was prone to cursing and swearing and denying his position. The treasurer, Judas, embezzled funds and committed suicide. The pastor, Jesus, was executed. The other board members, the disciples, ran away cowardly and in fear. The only ones who were left were a few women from the ladies' fellowship. But as bad as things were in that first church, or as bad as they appeared, the church survived. But it didn't only survive, it actually thrived. Now, I am not perfect. You are not perfect. This church is not perfect. But we, and any church, cannot just survive, but we can thrive when we strive to become the answer to Jesus' prayer. May they be brought to complete unity. Our only hope for the future is to repent of our disunity and our lack of love. Our only hope for the future is to forgive one another, not to hold grudges, and to really seek peace and harmony and love. Now, what does loving one another and living in unity look like? Well, let me say what it is not. It is not uniformity. Unity is not the same as uniformity. We do not always have to agree with one another on how to engage in ministry. We don't have to agree with one another on what songs we should sing in worship or what translation of the Bible to use. We do not always have to agree on how to interpret or even preach certain passages of Scripture. We don't always have to agree on what form of church government to follow. We don't always have to agree on how to promote justice and care for the poor. But if we disagree, we must always maintain unity and love with one another. We are a family. We're not adversaries, even though we sometimes act like it. We're not. In all matters, at all times, we have to strive to be the answer to Jesus' prayer. That we would love one another. That we would remain in unity. To bolster this, I want you to listen to a couple of words from Paul. When he wrote to the Ephesians, he said in Ephesians chapter 4, the first three verses, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." To live with a genuine label is what he's saying. What's that look like? He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then later on in chapter 5, the first couple of verses, he says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What does loving one another and living in unity look like? It's not uniformity, but it is relating to one another in humility and in gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another. If you wear the label of Christian, and it is genuine, then you will strive to your utmost to live in unity. You will strive to your utmost to live a life of love. In relationship with others, you will be humble and gentle, patient and forgiving, encouraging and supportive and uplifting. You will not insist upon your own way, but you will submit to others and put the needs of others ahead of your own needs. And as necessary, you will repent and you will apologize. And you will forgive, and you will restore broken relationships and mend misunderstandings. We all need to live in unity and love so that our interpersonal relationships will be healthy and enjoyable. We all need to live in unity and love because so many others are watching us, and they are deciding whether Jesus is real or not based upon what they observe in our lives. I want to see us as a church family growing in maturity. I want to see, as a result of our relationships, people choosing to follow Jesus. I want to see, as a result of our ministries, people being saved and baptized. I want, because of our presence here in this neighborhood, to influence this neighborhood for righteousness and for us to present the gospel to those around us. I suspect you would agree with me on those desires. But the only way this is going to happen, the only way we will have growing and lasting success, is if, as individuals and as a church family, we do much, much more than just wear a label. We must live as genuine Christians. Genuine Christians maintain unity. They promote and protect peace and harmony, and they live in love. They love the Lord their God with all their heart and soul and strength and mind, and they love their neighbor as they love themselves. Jesus prayed his prayer. He prayed it for us because he knew that others would be watching us. Jesus knew that others would come to understand who Jesus is by how we live in relationship with others. If you have done anything to hurt or destroy a relationship, to hinder a relationship, you need to repent and to ask for forgiveness. If you want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer, you must live in unity and love, peace and harmony. If you want others to understand who Jesus truly is, you need to live in unity and love. May we take to heart this prayer of Jesus. May we be the answer to his prayer. May we be genuine Christians committed to unity and love. The future of our message, the future of our church depends upon it. The salvation of others depends upon it. We must be the answer to Jesus' prayer. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Let us pray. Father God, by your Spirit, work in our hearts and minds, transform our lives. Help each one of us to daily be the answer to Jesus' prayer. May we live in unity and in love, so that the watching world will know that you are real, that you have come as the Savior of the world. Where we have sinned against another, please convict us and draw us to repentance and to reconciliation. I pray these things for your honor and for your glory, for the health and the building up of your church, and for the display of your kingdom come into this world and into our city and into our neighborhood. And I pray in the name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand together and sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Thank you for spending this time with us. Remember, refreshments and cookies off in the side room, and enjoy some fellowship with each other before you leave.